kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trot. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven, sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. For I'm sheltered in the arms of
Thank you, special musicians. All right. I always enjoy singing. Sometimes it's not the easiest. Let me help this 50-year-old lady down. There we go, ma'am. I'm just kidding. Just having a bit of fun. But I always enjoy singing. Sometimes my voice doesn't allow it, but it's hard to sing and preach so much but I enjoy it. I hope you enjoy music. I'm talking about good music. I'm talking about glorifying God music. All right? Boy, that's some good stuff. And I enjoy the messages behind good songs. Take your Bible, if you would, tonight. And boy, are you going to need your Bible. 1 Corinthians 2, Romans 8, Galatians 5. Now, that's just to get us started. All right? 1 Corinthians 2, Romans 8, and Galatians 5. Now, why it's taking you some time to get there, let me just refresh your memory about last week. And for those of you that are visiting with us, our theme this year is character under construction, conforming to the image of Christ. And our theme verse is Romans 8:29. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that tonight. But last week we talked about some of the various things about character and principles and ethics and by the time we get finished with 2012, you're going to get so tired of hearing me use character and principle and ethics and precepts and integrity. But you know something, folks? We've got to drive that home. America is in a famine today of character. We're in a famine today of the principled life, the ethical life. And I told you last week that America looks back now on how that we kicked God out of just about everything 50 years ago or less. And, And America looks back on that time now, and you listen to me, America, well, they may not want to come out and say it, but America regrets it did that. Because since that time, our ethics, our principles, and the level of character that exists in America today has gone absolutely down the tubes. And so we've got to be able to restore some of that. And so we're going to spend this year studying various character traits on Sunday nights. But tonight I want to direct your attention to 1 Corinthians 2. Would you stand with me, please? I kind of whet your appetite a little bit last week about the subject. I kind of gave you some idea of what I was going to preach on tonight, last Sunday night. And so we've got character. We know what that is. I defined that for you last week. Under construction. Somebody's got to do the building. There's got to be material, but somebody's got to do the building. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight, and I think we'll find that in our scripture reading. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. Paul says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" Now here's the statement I want you to focus on. "But we, believers," he didn't say we might have it. He said we have the mind of Christ. Now, God's not going to allow that to be in Scripture if I don't have it in some shape, form, or fashion. Now, tonight I'm here to tell you, if you're a child of God, and Paul said, "But we have the mind of Christ," if you're a child of God, you've got the Spirit of God living in you, the mind of Christ. You have the Word of God in your hand tonight, the mind of Christ. So we have it today in our hands, in our hearts. So this thing of living the character life, the principled life, the ethical life, I'm here to tell you tonight, church, it is possible for that type of life to be lived. Take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, this is kind of our theme verse for the year. Let's go back and read it one more time. Romans 8. "For whom he," God, "did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Did you notice God says that the only thing I've ever predestinated, and I want to say this to you, God has never predestinated a soul, but he has predestinated a plan. Let me say that again. I said he's never predestinated a soul, but he has predestined a plan. And that plan is for people to be saved and conformed to the image of his Son. Now, take your Bible, go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And look at verse 16. Galatians 5 and verse number 16. Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let me stop and say this, and we're going to drop down here and read a couple other verses. You think Paul might have known something about this? Now, we don't have time. We read it through last week. We don't have time to go to Romans chapter 7 and find out that even one of the greatest Christians in all the world, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, outside of John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul struggled with this very thing I'm talking about. He struggled by living the principled life. He struggled with the flesh, by the way, just like we do. And he said, "But if you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are," notice here now, "contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things," listen to this last statement, "that ye would." You know, if I interviewed most everybody in here, or if I say, "Do you want to be a principled person?" Almost everybody in here would say, "Well, of course I want to be a principled person." If I went away and said, "You want to live a life of integrity?" Almost everybody would say, "Well, of course, preacher. I want to live a life of integrity. I want to have good character. I want to have an ethical life, and whether I'm in the church, outside the church. Yes, I want to live this kind of life." Well, I'm going to introduce you tonight that there's only one way that you can live that kind of life. There's only one way that you're going to be conformed to the image of his Son. And then look down at verse number 25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So I want to continue the message I started last week on character under construction. except I want to put a subtitle underneath that, and that's this subtitle, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Because you cannot live the life that you have in the Word of God right here, because most of us have tried to do it in the flesh. You can't do it. It's impossible. You cannot live the principled life. You cannot live the character life. You cannot have the integrity that's taught in Scripture. You cannot live the ethical life as a Christian. You must have help. And very few of us, I wonder how many of us get up in the morning and say, Father, thank you for letting us live. Let me be alive. Oh, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. And then we get out of the bed and leave. How many has ever said, Good morning, Holy Spirit? And that's what I want to speak to you tonight. Father, bless us now. Thank you for the privilege of serving. We do ask that your hand be upon us. And the Lord, would you teach us something from the Bible as you promised in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Paul makes a very important statement here that gives us the indication that we possess, as a believer, the necessary spiritual tools to get done what Scripture teaches about proper character, the principled life, the ethical life. Did you notice in our first Scripture reading, he says, we have. That means I have in my possession, as a believer, the mind of Christ. I have living in me the Spirit of God, that it will inform me about everything I need to know about living for Jesus Christ. He will not only inform me, he will convict me when I don't. He will also communicate to me what needs to be done and what needs to be removed. You say, preacher, the Holy Spirit does that? Yes. Why do you think he lives inside you? He's here to help you. He's here to minister to you in living this type of life. You see, Paul informed these young believers here at Corinth who were struggling with the principled life of character that living in them was the mind of Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost of God. Let me just stop right here. We Baptists, sometimes we get a little bit nervous when we use the term Holy Ghost. All right? Let me stop and just say something here. Can I say that that is a Bible term, and I'm not going to let somebody else try to keep me from using Bible terminology? Just because they misappropriate the terms. Listen, it is the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Spirit. He is real. He does live inside the believer. And he has a purpose for living there. Now, these young Christians struggled with character. They struggled with the principle life. And these believers did not have the total advantage that we have today because they didn't have the complete canon of Scripture. Guess what? Trinity Baptist Church members, you do. They did not have the complete canon of Scripture. So we have no excuse whatsoever to follow a different lifestyle and follow a different methodology. God's given us the methods by which we're to live by. You see, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the complete Word of God. So Christ-like character can be developed. Now let me say a few things right here. First of all, the principled life can be obtained. Y'all don't believe that? Let me say that again. That didn't go over very well. I said the principled life, it can be obtained. See, I think sometimes we think, glory to God, I'm saved. But we look out there at the Christian life and we think, well, only the preacher, only the staff members, only the deacons, they're the only ones capable of living like that. You know what that is? That's nonsense. You have just as much access to the throne of God as I do. You have just as much of the Holy Spirit as I've got. I'm not going to get any more. I've got all the Holy Spirit that I'm going to get. Now, whether he has control of our lives is a totally different story. But I'm not going to get any more of the Holy Spirit than I got the day I was saved. The principled life is obtainable. The ethical life can be lived. But I must say, church, however, none of these can be accomplished. And there can be no construction going on in your life or my life if there's not two elements involved. Number one, there's got to be material. Number two, there's got to be a builder. Remember I told you last week, if I came to someone and I said, listen, I want a home built. They said, okay, no problem. What kind of home do you want built? Well, you know, I just kind of want a bathroom about this big. I want a living room about half the size of this platform. And I begin to tell all these things that I want. And then they draw me up a plan, and they give me a plan on everything. They lay it out for me. I've got the blueprint, And I say, yeah, that's the kind of house that I want. That's what I want to build right there. And the guy says, okay, now great. Now, how are we going to get this done? Where are you going to get the money? Well, I ain't got no money. Well, where are we going to get the materials? Well, I thought that was your job. You're going to have to come up with the materials. You're the architect, so I want you to come up with the materials. I want you to come up with the building. I want you to draw the blueprints, and I want you to do it all, and me do nothing. You say, preacher, what are you going at with this? That's how we treat the Holy Spirit. We want Him to draw the blueprint. We've got it. We want Him to do all the work, but we want to get all the credit. You see, it don't work that way. There's got to be two elements involved if there's going to be construction. There's got to be material. Guess who the material is? That's you. That's me. And there's got to be a builder. There's got to be somebody that's going to take the material and build with it. Take your Bible, go, if you would, to John 21. Now, you're going to need your Bible. We're going to turn to a lot of Scripture tonight, and I want you to see a lot of things here. Probably, in my humble opinion, I think probably the Apostle Peter probably serves as probably the most vivid example of the unsubmissive life versus the submissive life that we have in Scripture. When you look at Peter's life in light of the Gospels, and I'm talking about in light of the Gospels minus John 21, which we're fixing to read in just a minute, you'll find that Peter lived a very unprincipled life, a very, at times, unethical life, a very uncharactered life, a life with not much integrity involved. You say, well, what changed him? What made Peter go from the Peter of the Gospels to the Peter of the book of Acts? One thing, material and a builder. You say, who was the material? Guess what? He was. But you know something? Jesus had to take him on a little seaside seminar with him and show him that he was the material. And that if he was going to make a change, that change was going to have to be a willful change. God's not going to force His way into anybody's life. That's the reason He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The key there is, if any man. If any man. And by the way, if you want to live the principled life, the character life, the ethical life, guess what? He's knocking tonight too at your door. And I want to tell you, if any man open the door, he'll come in. Not many people want to. You know why? Because if you're going to live that kind of life, it's going to require sacrifice. And not many of us are willing to sacrifice our lifestyle in order to live that kind of life. Not many of us are willing to make the sacrifices that are required to live the principled life. But Peter came face to face with reality. You say, who did he come face to face with? Jesus. Remember Jesus called him off the boat after he said, I go fishing, and some of the other disciples said, we go also. Kind of stepped out of the will of God. Verse 15, Jesus called him to shore, said, come and dine. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord. Oh, don't you like this? This is the way we all, this is typical us right here, isn't it? Well, thou knowest I love you. Because, by the way, I came to church and sang, oh, how I love Jesus. Because, now, Lord, you know that I wouldn't have sung that if I didn't mean it. You see, half the songs we come to church and sing, we sing them, but you know, we're no more into the song service. We're no more into what those words are saying. We're no more into it than the man in the moon. You see, Jesus said, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, Lord, you knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And listen, church, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Listen, Peter made a statement that literally condemned him. He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. And listen, why do you think Jesus was asking him the questions? Because he did know what was going on in his heart. He had not submitted to the control of the Spirit of God. And I'm here to tell you that probably the majority of most churches in America as well have not submitted to the control of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, the key here was submission. The material was Peter himself. Peter struggled with all three aspects of the conforming life. He struggled with character, because that's who he was. He struggled with principles. That's what he was and what he believed. He struggled with ethics. That's how we live based on who we are and what we believe. You see, a lot of people struggle with God's conforming process. But I'm here to tell you tonight, church, this is God's way. And I'll say again, like I said last week, there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. See, it'd be the same thing taking some of these TBA students down here that are paying attention. And these TBA students that are right here, it'd be like them going to school, and the teacher said, now here's what we're going to do, young people. Take 4 and 5 and 6 year olds, so we're going to teach you your multiplication tables, and then we'll get around to teaching your addition and subtraction tables later. He said, preacher, that's crazy. They need to start and teach the elementary stage. That's exactly right. Why would we teach them their multiplication tables before we taught them the basics? You see, church, what I'm saying is simply that a lot of people struggle with God's conforming process, but it's His way of doing things, and we want to try to circumvent it. You see, some of us, if we're going to live this kind of life, if we're going to have our character be brought under the builder's hand and under construction, some of us are going to have to spend a little time on the potter's wheel. Some of us are going to have to spend a little time going through the furnace of fire. Some of us are going to have to spend a little time under the hand of God. You say, but that might hurt. Yeah, it might. Just depends on how much pressure He's got to put on our lives to conform us to what He wants us to be. And folks, listen to me. I'll just tell you, there's just as much, and I can say this because I am one, there's just as much a lack of integrity and character and principles in the pew as there is in the pulpit. The pulpits of America are starting to go wayward as well on principles and character and integrity. So it's not just the pew, it's pulpits everywhere as well. Now, here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you three simple topics here, and we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. So you ready? Everybody got your jogging shoes on? I want to first of all talk to you about the responsibility of the conforming life. We have a responsibility to conform to the image of His Son. Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians 5. Here we go. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All right, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. You'll recognize most of these verses once you get there. 2 Corinthians 5, 20. Here's one of our responsibilities. Paul says, now we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The key word that we're focusing on in this verse is the word ambassador. I am a representative of everything that Jesus left me here to do. I'm a representative of His character. I'm a representative of His ministry. I'm a representative of His teachings and His doctrine. I am a representative of all of that. Why? Because I have a responsibility to the conforming life. Do you know people are watching you? Do you know your next door neighbors watched you? You say, oh, preacher, nobody's paying attention. You know what? You probably got some next door neighbors that could probably set their clock by the time you go to church. I've said this many times. I hope nobody's watching at home tonight. If you are, close your ears. If somebody wanted to rob me, it wouldn't be hard to figure out when to do it. Because all they'd have to do is figure out when church is on, and that'd be about when they could go. I wonder does your next door neighbor know? Can they set their watch by church time? Or are you here sometime and not here sometime? Or do you live the charactered life? Do you live the unprincipled life only when it benefits you? See, it gets quiet, but you know why? Because you know what? That's when all of a sudden it hurts, doesn't it, a little bit? Because all of us know that we've got these kind of flaws. And all of us realize that these flaws are in our life. But I'm here to tell you, church, listen, we have a responsibility to the conforming life. You say, preacher, did you go jump on the potter's wheel? No, I didn't jump on, I got put on. Did you hear? I said I didn't go jump on. because the flesh didn't want to jump on. God says, do you want this kind of life? I said, well, I kind of think I do. He said, fine, on the potter's wheel. You see, what we do is we want to know the powers of His resurrection, but we don't want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. We want to know all about the power of the resurrection, but boy, we're not too interested in that fellowship of His sufferings thing. But can I tell you, you can't separate the two. They come as one package. Listen, we have a responsibility to the conforming life. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Go to Philippians 2. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The Scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You say, what mind is that, preacher? That is the mind of no reputation, the mind of a servant, the humble mind, the obedient mind. He said, let this kind of mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He says, not only are we ambassadors, we are to live the mind of Christ. We have it. He says we're to live by it. It ought to be our guidelines. Listen, folks, I don't pretend to know all this book, but I have been saved long enough in the ministry long enough to, I think I know just a little bit of it. But you know what? I don't have enough lifetime to get all the truths. I don't have enough lifetime. There's more principles. There's more truth in this book than I've got time to live. More than I've got time to live in this book. But let me tell you something tonight, church. I have a responsibility. Not only as an ambassador, I have a responsibility to live it before the world. That's the reason we've learned in our studies that Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He didn't say you're a form of it. He said, you are it. He said, you are the only flavor this world has. You are the only hope and light that this world has. I told you before, church, Jesus is not coming again to this earth and go door to door again. He's not coming to do His ministry again. All of that's already done. The next time He comes, we're going up. And then the next time He comes to this earth, He's setting the kingdom up. And glory to God, I'm going to rule with Him for 1,000 years. Now, all I'm saying is simply that we have a life. We're to live the mind of Christ. Look, if you would, in John chapter 14. We're to display the godly character of Christ. Look at John 14, 12. Look in John 14 and verse 12. John 14, verse 12. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And listen carefully. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. You see, we are to display the godly character of Christ. Just as Jesus lived, and just as how Jesus treated people, and just as how Jesus addressed people, I'm to do the same thing. I'm to follow that type of lifestyle. Look, if you would, in John 20, we're close by. John 20 and verse 21. I have a commission to principles. I am commissioned to the principled life. Look, if you would, in John 20 and verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now listen, this is always, for the most part, and it's not wrong, because I think that's the intention of the verse, but a lot of times you never hear that verse unless you hear somebody preach on soul winning. But has it ever dawned on you that not only did He send us to reach the world, did it ever dawn on you that He also sent us to display the character, the Christ-like character of Christ? To live the principled life? To be able to live so that people could see that Christianity is real? Hey, listen, we point the finger at most of the world and say it's their fault. No, it is. Is it? You know what? Most of the fault, the blame belongs to most believers. Because we have the truth. No wonder most of the false religions of the world laugh at Christianity. We say we believe. The problem is we don't practice what we say we believe. Well, look in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Look in 1 John 4 and verse number 17. Okay, 1 John 4 And verse number 17, I said we are ambassadors. That's our responsibility. We're to live the mind of Christ. That's the responsibility of the conforming life. We're to display godly character. We're to have, we have a commission to principles. I want to make this statement. I want you to look at it in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 17. We must be made perfect. So, preacher, we can't live the perfect life. That's not what he's talking about. He said you've got to be made perfect. You've got, there has to be a conforming. There has to be someone in your life that causes this to happen, that brings you to a life of maturity, a life of character, a life of ethics, a life of principle, a life of integrity. 1 John 4, 17, look at it. Herein is our love, here it is, made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. He says we are made perfect, complete. Listen, and let me make this statement. I think you understand right. Did you know, folks, there's more to salvation than being saved? That's the beginning point. I'm gloriously saved. Thank God I am. But you know what? I was saved to serve, not saved to sit. And I'm saved to display the Christ-like character of Jesus Christ, so that people can see the light of the world in your life and in mine. I have a responsibility in the conforming life. Listen, since we're not born with fleshly character, then can I say to you, then you ain't born again with spiritual character as well. It has to be developed. It has to be taught. And it takes time. You know, so many young believers, they get saved. You know what they want to do? They want to get saved, and they want to just zoom through the Christian life, and they want to skip all of the phases. That's like my six-year-old granddaughter, who's six in age only. But you know what? She wants to go from six, and sometimes she wants the privileges of a 20-year-old. Does anybody else have anybody like that? Okay. So you have a little one, and they're young, but you know what? They're 6 or 7 years old, but they want the privileges of an adult. They want to skip all of the in-between. And I tell my granddaughter, listen, I know that's what it seems like at six, but take it from old pops, all right? Slow down. It ain't all it's cut out to be. I said, because when you get older, you know what? You got to pay bills. You got to do all these kind of things. I said, enjoy being a kid. Hey, I've enjoyed it so much, I've just decided to just go ahead and at 50, just try to be a kid. I said, first of all, we have the responsibility of the conforming life. We, dear church, are ambassadors. Now, the next thing I want to talk to you about for a moment is this. The Holy Spirit is the builder of the conforming life. I said we have a responsibility to the conforming life, but the Holy Spirit is the builder of the conforming life. Now listen, some of you in here are builders, and you have that ability, you have that training, you have all of that. Folks, it's difficult for me to build just a little square wood box. That's a challenge to me. To some of you, it wouldn't be. To some of you, you know what? Hey, you can do all these kind of things on the computer. Hey, I'm just happy if I push a button and what I put in prints. Come on, somebody help me out now. Amen, preacher. If it all turns out like I put it in, I'm thankful. You see, the Holy Spirit is the builder of the conforming life. He's the one that's going to do the constructing. Now, let me tell you what it's going to do. What it's going to require, church, is you're going to have to put the hammer in the builder's hand and take it out of your own. Now, some of you in here are professionals in several areas or in an area of business, but you're like me. You are challenged when it comes to building things. So you know what I do? I either hire somebody to come build it or I put the hammer in their hand, and I don't pretend to be a builder. Amen. Now, some of us, you know what, we got a little stubborn streak in us, and we thought, you know what, I'm going to build this, and I'm going to show the world that I can do this. I had that attitude before. Now, here's what I found out. When you get stubborn, it costs you a lot of money. And after I looked at what I paid compared to what I built, I decided I'm going to hire somebody to do it next time. Now, what I'm saying to you, let me make the spiritual analogy. You want to be stubborn about this? It's going to cost you a lot of time. It's going to cost you a good portion of your Christian life. And you can buck the Holy Ghost if you want, but I'm here to tell you, He's the builder here. He already knows how to build your life. And let's take a look at some scripture and prove this to ourselves, all right? John chapter 14, turn there if you would. The first of all, the scripture describes the Holy Spirit as a teacher. John chapter 14. John 14, verse 26. Are you there? John 14 and verse number 26. Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is... Does your Bible say Holy Ghost right there? All right, that's who He is. That's what we're talking about. So we're still talking about the same person, right? He says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name. Wait a minute. Just a minute ago, did we not read where Jesus said, as the Father hath sent Me, so send I you. Now He's saying the Holy Spirit is sent by the Father. You know what? I love it because the Bible's so consistent. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There it is right there. You cannot separate the three. And so Jesus says, I hear it very plainly in verse 26. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, listen now, He shall teach you only what you need to know. He shall teach you only the things that you want to learn. Now, He said, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever Jesus said, I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And listen, I'm not very smart when it comes to computers and things like that. So when someone has expertise in that area, you know what I do? I need to do the same thing with the Holy Ghost of God that I do when I sit with these people. I need to listen and learn. Listen and learn. See, that's some of our problem. We don't listen, therefore we don't learn. And so I need to listen and learn from the teacher. The Holy Ghost will teach all courses on character. He don't need our help. He doesn't need an assistant. He doesn't need an administrative assistant. He teaches all courses on character. He teaches all courses on the principle of life. He teaches all courses on integrity. Unless you think that may be a boring class, try to live the Christian life without the instruction of the Holy Spirit of God. He will teach all courses on character, and let me stop and say this, He's certified to teach it. Oh boy, we're all interested today. Are you certified? Are you certified to teach this subject? I can honestly tell you tonight, the Holy Ghost of God is certified. You know who certified Him? The Father certified Him. You know who else certified Him? The Spirit of God certified Himself, but Jesus certified Him. So that tells me that all three of the Godhead certified that the Holy Ghost of God is the one that will do the teaching. You see, He's certified by the Father. He's the teacher of the conforming life. Go to John 16. We're close by. John 16, verse 13. I said the Holy Spirit is the teacher. I want to say the Holy Spirit is our guide. Here we go. Are you there? John 16 and verse number 13. Howbeit, Jesus said, when He, that's the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into, here's that word again, all truth. So He's going to teach me all things, and then He's going to guide me into all truth. And so if I'll listen and learn, and then I will follow, you know what I'm going to find myself? I'm going to find myself listening, I'm going to find myself learning, and then I'm going to find myself achieving. Y'all okay with that? You see, here's what happens is our old flesh gets involved, and what we want to do is we want to achieve, but we don't want anybody to tell us anything. It's not possible, folks. It's not. Try to go down here and get a job at the emergency room at Arlington Memorial and say, well, what kind of degree you got? Well, I got a high school diploma. What else do you need? Well, we kind of need something. If you're going to be an emergency room doctor, we kind of need some experience. I don't need any experience. I watched it on the Discovery Channel. Now, all I'm saying to you is, listen, we treat the Spirit of God like this. Like we know more about character and integrity and principles from the Word of God than he does. You see, he's the teacher. He's the guide. He's the one that's going to show you the principled life. He's the one that's going to, listen, his entire purpose. Look at verse 14. It says that he'll guide you the way of all truth. Verse 13, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Listen now, he shall glorify me, Jesus said, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So what he's going to do is the Holy Spirit's going to guide me. He's going to show me principle, and then he's going to purpose to glorify the Father, listen now, in my life. He wants to glorify the Father in my life. And then he's the one that's going to do the conforming. Did you notice the statement, interesting statement there? And in verse number 13, it says, he will show you things to come. Then it says, and he shall show it unto you. And then look at verse number 15. It says, and shall show it unto you. Jesus said on two different occasions that he shall take of mine, he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit's teaching all the time. The Holy Spirit's instructing all the time. The problem is most of us as people of God, we're not listening. You see, the Holy Spirit takes truth, principles, character traits, ethical practices, and he will reveal those to the believer and conform us to the image of his Son. You see, he is the contractor. He is the builder. He is the one that can construct our life like it needs to be. So the Holy Spirit's the builder of the conforming life. He's the teacher. He's the guide. And I want you to go back to John 14, verse 26. John 14 and verse 26. It says, again, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and look at this now, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I said he's the teacher, he's the guide, and he's our reminder. Have you ever been confronted with a situation, and in a matter, it seems like a long time, but it's actually a matter of seconds, what runs through your mind is, do I tell the truth or not tell the truth? If I tell the truth, this is what's going to happen. If I don't tell the truth, this is what's going to happen. Do I do right or do I do wrong? Listen, if I do all this, then this is what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, in a matter of seconds, all these things run through your mind. But if we live the kind of life that we ought to live, the Holy Spirit will always remind you that we're trying, that listen, what we do, first of all, you know what it reminds me? He reminds me that, you know what, is what you're doing based on biblical principle. It's what you're about to say based on principles from the Scripture. You know what else he'll remind me? He'll remind me of my responsibility. And then he gets down to the end, and you know what else he'll remind me? He'll remind me that I'm facing God one day with my decision. You say, what is that called? It's called conviction. That's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. He'll remind you of the principled life. He'll remind you of your responsibility. And he'll remind you that you have the mind of Christ. You have the tools to develop this. Look, if you're right there in John chapter 15, look at verse number 5. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Listen to this last statement. He said, for without me, without the Father, without the Son, and without the developer, without the builder, the Holy Ghost. He said, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. And folks, listen. What I'm talking about tonight is a life that requires time. A life that requires a little pressure from time to time. So I've told you we have a responsibility to the conforming life. The Holy Spirit is the builder of the conforming life. And here's what I'm going to wrap this thing up with tonight and say this to you. The material that's needed for the conforming life. There's material that's needed for the conforming life. Take your Bible and go, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Go to Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. Ephesians 2:10. Paul says, for we are his workmanship. Kind of sounds to me like that if we're his workmanship, then there must be work to be done, right? He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, remember, one of the verses that we read at the beginning, we're going to get to it in just a second. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Did you notice here, Paul said again, he says that we ordained that we should walk in them. We are created unto good works. The Holy Spirit needs material to work with if he's going to be the constructioner of our life. Or if he's going to be the builder, that's what I'm trying to say. If he's going to be the builder in our life, he's got to have material. And you know what? He wants material because you know what? He wants to build your life. He wants to build character. He wants to build integrity in your life. But he's got to have material. He's got to have people that are willing to give themselves to the Lord. Ephesians 5, turn there. Ephesians 5 and verse number 18. Let's look at what the material is. Here it is. Ephesians 5, 18. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, again, let me say again. You've got all the Holy Spirit that you're going to get. You got all of Him at salvation. You say, so what does it mean when it says be filled with the Spirit? Listen, you got all that you're going to get of Him, but I'm afraid He's not getting all of us. So when He says be filled with the Spirit, what He's saying is that you're going to have to give the Holy Spirit your life. That filling, that life filled with the Holy Spirit of God means that the Holy Spirit has to have your attention. I remember in school, I had teachers, and of course, each one of them had different ways to get your attention. Some of them used different methods to get your attention. Some of them used, now listen kids, close your ears, because this was back in the 60s and 70s when you could throw books at people. Some of them threw books at people. Some of them, if you didn't pay attention, would have you stand up. And I remember many times where I'd have to stick my hand out like this for a couple of smacks with a ruler. You went, oh. You know what? That got my attention. Sometimes I had to go stand up in the back when I kept falling asleep. You ever did do that? Go stand up. Or they'd say, Mr. Lassner, stand to your feet. You'd stand up. You're like, what is it? Just stand there. You're going to stand there the rest of the class. They use different things to get your attention. You see, the Holy Spirit of God wants your attention. God tonight is trying to get your attention. Why? Because He wants that conforming life for you. The Holy Spirit wants our attention. The Holy Spirit has to have control. And I don't mean two-thirds control. I mean total control. He's got to have control. Listen. We've got a lot of teachers in this room here tonight. Teachers, what kind? Let me ask you this. Can you do any teaching without control? Help me out, teachers. Can you teach without control? You cannot teach without control. Because when you have a class out of control, then guess what? Then the thing about it is they're not in a learning spirit. They're not listening. So there cannot be learning going on. And most of our lives, we get so cluttered with all of the peripheral things of life, with all of our habits, with all of our little vices, with all of our games, and all of these kind of things in their place. They're not wrong. But our life gets so cluttered with them, we can't hear the Spirit of God trying to teach. We can't see Him trying to guide. We can't hear Him trying to remind us. Because our mind is so cluttered with so much of the world. You see, there's going to have to be material that's going to have to be available if there's going to be the conforming life. You see, sometimes, church, it's painful. It's painful because the Holy Spirit has to reveal our flaws, our faults, and our focus. You see, that's the reason we need to come to the altar frequently and say, Lord, am I still focused? Lord, are there some faults and flaws and stuff here that need to be taken care of in my life? You see, the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit's control. He's got to have our attention. And He's the one that's going to be able to conform you to the charactered life. I said it, the material's got to be a life filled with the Holy Ghost. Go back, if you would, now to Galatians 5. We'll finish up right here. Galatians 5. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. And verse number 16. One of our verses that we read in the initial stages to begin tonight. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now most of us, we kick ourselves from day to day. Man, I knew I shouldn't have done that. And yet we spend all of our life not walking in the Spirit, and then we succumb to the temptations of the flesh, and what we do is we find ourselves in circumstances and situations to where it presents to us temptation to step out of the principled life. It presents to us temptation to step out of the charactered life, the ethical life, the life of integrity. Boy, the Holy Spirit, you know what? He'll reveal the flaws. He'll reveal the faults. He'll reveal our focus. And normally it's pretty simple. And it doesn't take long for most Christians to figure out who's walking in the Spirit and who's not. Remember, when we look back there in Ephesians chapter 5, when the Scripture says be filled with the Spirit, did you know that the Spirit-filled life, when you go read all of the things that are listed there, one of the things that it says, that there's a song in their heart, they're thankful and they're submissive. Not just to men, they're submissive to the will of God. You see, there has to be a Spirit-filled life, a life filled with the Holy Spirit, but there has to be a life walking in the Spirit. There has to be a life listening and learning from the teacher. I've got to get instruction. If I'm going to get instruction, I'm going to have to get it from the teacher. And listen, Jesus taught 12 disciples. 11 of them, we think, listened. One of them didn't listen. And we find out after Jesus, in Jesus' ministry, when you go look at the disciples, you find out how little they did listen. Because even after Jesus was crucified, went to the tomb, and remember the ladies came back and they said, hey, He's risen! Glory to God, He's risen! Get out of here. He didn't raise from the dead. They doubted. They doubted. You say, well, I thought they listened. Well, they listened a little bit closer when they saw Him. You know, Thomas was kind of one of those doubters. He said, I'll not believe until I'm able to put my hand in the nail prints, or put my finger in the nail prints in His hand and thrust my hand into His side. I'll not believe. Jesus said, I can arrange that. You see, there has to be a life walking in the Spirit, listening and learning from the teacher, following and obeying the guide. Listen now, remembering our responsibilities. And the Holy Spirit's job is to remind us. Drop down, let's look at one more, verse 25. He said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's going to have to be a life living in the Spirit of God. You say, what is that, preacher? That's practicing the principles that are preached. Practicing the principles that the Holy Ghost is preaching to you every day of your life. You see, folks, the reason that most of us are, we're this everything, that a lot of things I'm saying tonight are so foreign to most people, because I'm not sure most people even talk to the Holy Ghost of God. I'm not even sure most people even contact the Builder. I'm not even sure that most believers even know who He is or how to contact Him. Yet when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came in. He says, all right, boy, do we have some remodeling to do inside here. You see, practicing the principles preached. There's going to have to be daily submission. And then principles purposed is ethics executed. Principles that are purposed and learned are ethics executed. Now, let me wind this up and say this to you tonight. I mentioned to you just in passing last week that what character does and what principles do is, if you'll get a hold of them and let the Holy Spirit of God conform you, what they'll do is they will predetermine your answers before the question's ever asked. You understand what I'm saying? Once you set your feet on the principles and let the Holy Spirit begin to conform you, you'll have the answer before the question ever comes. You see, tonight, there are things, when the question comes, I've already predetermined what my answer is going to be. Why? Because I base it on the principles of the Word of God. I base it on the character that's been conformed in my life, just like it's been conformed in your life. You say, how did that happen? A lot of time on the potter's wheel. A lot of passes through the furnace of fire. A lot of times, because you know what? A lot of times I wanted the hammer in my hand because I thought, you know what, I can build this. I can do this, only to find out that I couldn't. And what my stubbornness caused me was a lot of heartache and time. Let me challenge you tonight, Christians, that to yield yourself to the Spirit of God, He's the one, He's the builder. You know what He's looking for? He's looking for material. And the members of Trinity Baptist Church are going to have to be that material if we're going to be a principal church, if we're going to be an ethical church. God's got to have the materials needed if there's going to be any construction that's going on. Would you bow your heads for a moment tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say tonight, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again child of God. I'm happy about it. Not ashamed of it. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me, preacher. Thank God I'm a born-again believer. God bless you.